Roshtuni Radio presents The Cure of Souls, Recovering the Biblical Doctrine of Confession by Rusus John Roshtuni, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation.
18. The Two Aspects of Confession. James Phillip, in his comments on Numbers 5:5-10, called attention to the, quote, twofold emphasis on confession and restitution, end quote, in that text. Quote, confession is putting things right with God. Restitution is putting things right with one's fellows, end quote. He added, quote, both are necessary for a wronged situation to be rectified, end quote. Confession must not be made indiscriminately. Sins committed specifically against God must be confessed to God, as indeed all sins must be. Sins committed against another person must be confessed to that person, and sins committed against a fellowship must be confessed to that group. Moreover, Philip points out, confession without restitution is not true confession. Neither confession nor repentance can be reduced to a matter of words. They are issues of faith and life, and involve a changed direction and action. As applied to man, according to Alan Richardson, quote, it represents a reorientation of one's whole life and personality, which includes the adoption of a new ethical line of conduct, a forsaking of sin, and a turning to righteousness, end quote. As Richardson added, only God can give men repentance and a clean heart. This is David's prayer in Psalm 51:10, compare Ezekiel 36:26, Jeremiah 31:33. God converts people, and His Spirit uses the law to do so. Quote, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. End quote. Psalm 19:7. Repentance means a total reorientation of one's being, a change of heart, life, and direction. Repentance leads to a confession of sin, not as a verbal exercise, but as a part of a process, along with activities whereby new ways replace the old. Confession, thus, is essentially related to action. It is for this reason that the creeds and standards of a church are known as confessions. They are the premise of faith and action. Confessions of sins and confessions of faith are verbal and active, manifesting a change in word, thought, and deed. The Greek word, homologio, means to speak the same thing, or to be in accord. Thus, confession, where true and faithful, means that an agreement exists between profession and life. If we confess our sins, we turn from them into an act of obedience to God. If we confess Christ, we believe and obey Him with all our being. True confession in this sense means not only an agreement in us between words and life, but also an agreement between us and Jesus Christ. Our Lord declares, quote, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. End quote. Matthew 10:32 and 33. Valid confession thus means a congruity between words and life. From the beginning of Scripture, pastoral questioning has been used to prompt confession. A most notable example is Joshua's comment to Achan, quote, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. End quote. Joshua 7:19. The word translated as confession can also be read as praise. Achan had sinned against God, and to confess meant to recognize the rightness and justice of God's order. To do this means to give glory to God. Thus, in the biblical sense, to confess our sins means to recognize the validity of God's justice and order. Similarly, a confession of faith is a rejoicing in that order. When God called out to Adam in the Garden of Eden, he was giving Adam an opportunity to confess his sin. Adam chose instead to excuse his sin, as did Eve. Genesis 3:9-13. The same questioning was directed to Cain with a like evasion. Genesis 4:9. The Psalms are full of general and personal confessions, both of sins and of faith. Both are necessary aspects of public and private worship. Confession marked the Day of Atonement because the removal of sin by atonement is not only an objective judicial act by God, but also a renewal wrought in the heart of man by his grace. Confession is basic to biblical faith. It is a radical perversion of the scriptures to speak of regeneration without repentance and conversion. The confession of sins is the admission of facts concerning ourselves which discredit or demean us. Credit, the root of discredit, is from the word creed, from the Latin credere, to trust. To discredit ourselves by confessing to God is to deny our trustworthiness and credibility, and to trust rather in the Lord God. To confess thus means to shift our trust from ourselves to God. It means we admit to discredit our sins, and we affirm the total credibility of God when he speaks about us and about himself. Paul, in Romans 7:18, declares, quote, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, my fallen human nature, dwelleth no good thing," end quote. This we confess before God concerning ourselves, and we recognize with our Lord, quote, "There is none good but one, that is, God," end quote, Matthew 19:17. The good that we do is simply God's grace and Spirit working in us. This is why, in confession, we acknowledge our sins, and we also confess that God is indeed the Lord, the Almighty, the All-Righteous One. We place our trust in his grace, mercy, and justice. In confessing our sins, as in confessing Christ, we praise God, and we now live, move, and have our being in his grace and Spirit. Confession is indeed, quote, "good for the soul," end quote.